This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You weren't saying that, were you, Mark?
Of course not.
Of course not. Like, is it Hanif? Am I getting that right? Is his name Hanif in Philly? Is that your name? I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing it.
No, it's Hanif.
Hanif. Okay, thank you for calling. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, y'all? I just want to talk a little bit about these Niners, and I don't think we got to press the panic button, but at the same time, you know what I'm saying? Like, my personal opinion, I just don't know if we got the right people in place to fix what's going on with our team, like, this year. You know what I'm saying? Like, we all can agree that Kyle has got, like, his fair chance because of what he's built, you know what I mean, up until this point. We haven't gotten it done, unfortunately, but it's, like, same time, like, how long do we continue to, like, all right, let's just see this year, let's just see this year, let's just see this year. Y'all were saying, all right, like, if we're going to fire him, what's our option? I got an option.
Okay.
Like, the guy from the Detroit Lions.
Ben Johnson.
He looks pretty good. Yeah, he looks pretty good. Now, obviously, we ain't saying like he will come in and win us a Super Bowl, but we got to try something different. You know what I'm saying? You got to at least give it a try instead of running it back the same thing and expecting different results. You know what I'm saying? That's where I'm at with it. As far as Purdy, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, he looked bad. This ain't the first time he didn't look bad. He looked bad against the Cardinals. You know, Vikings might got him figured out because he looked bad between them this year and last year. But I ain't really out on Purdy just yet. I just feel like maybe he needs somebody else to help him. You know what I'm saying? I don't know, you know, how long we going. That relationship with him and Kyle, you know what I'm saying? I don't know how long that's going to work or if it's going to end up getting us a Super Bowl. But I'm out on as far as, like, I don't think Kyle had the answers to try and fix this. You know what I'm saying? He did a good job getting us to this point. You know what I'm saying? Can't, you know what I mean? Totally throw him under the bus. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, I just don't know if I think he's gotten us as far as he can get us. You know what I'm saying? And it just kind of looked like the whole league been caught up to what we've done now from, like, the past couple of years when we came on the scene. We put this whole thing together. You know what I mean? How good we look. But, you know, that's my opinion. That's what I think. I probably can come up with a couple other names. That kid down in Houston, the offensive coordinator, I think Slowick, that helped CJ Stroud, you know what I'm saying, get all to the
Bobby Pittsburgh. Slowick, he's from the Shanahan tree.
He came from here, Hanif. Yeah.
Thanks, Hanif.
Thanks very much.
I think it's a good call, and the whole notion of he's taken us as far as he's going to take us.
How do you feel about that?
Well, if that is the case, does that mean he can't again take you as far as he's already taken you, which is where he's been virtually for the last 5 years? Now, so let's say this year doesn't go the way last year did, and you wind up 10-7, and you're a first-round ouster in the playoffs, or whatever happens.
Let's say you miss the playoffs.
Let's just say you go 9-8, and you miss the playoffs.
All right.
And I think that he gets another crack at it. And if you go through next year, and it's another year like this, and Brock gets paid, and you wind up going 9-8 again, and it looks like this, undisciplined, and a little bit like the window is closing, and maybe you aren't able to get to where you used to be, then I think you maybe have a conversation. But right now, for me, 3-4, knowing what this year has looked like with two losses that you shouldn't have had, maybe they're Kyle's fault, maybe not. You're only a game out, and if you beat Dallas, all of a sudden everything is mostly forgiven headed into the bye. So I understand that sentiment is out there. I'm just not quite ready to start kicking the tires on other candidates.
I'm not even close. I think it is. It's just my opinion now. You want to be mad at Kyle Shanahan? I, in fact, I was during the game yesterday, too. This isn't even about mad at him. If you're questioning Kyle Shanahan's job status, I think you're very early to a party that hasn't started yet.
Agreed.
And I don't even mean that in terms of like what the Niners think. That's me telling you what I think. I think that that is, it's almost disrespectful, in my opinion. It's almost disrespectful. Like, when you do that, when you want to question Kyle Shanahan's job status right now with the 49ers, I will agree with the callers who call in and say this is a spoiled fan base. Now, I will ask the question in this regard.
Okay.
Am I hearing that some of you think that Kyle Shanahan is Mark Jackson? Is that, and I
don't think so. Okay, that's like, a bit of a stretch.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Because when the way Hanif put it is interesting to me. Again, I'm not anywhere near talking job status. But if your thought is, hey, Kyle did great, but we think he's now batting his head up against the ceiling and someone else needs to come in and take him over the top. Mark Jackson to Steve Kerr.
Yeah.
Do you feel that way?
No, the way I feel is something is rotten in Denmark, and as it pertains to what he's doing with his coaching staff, what he's doing from an attention to detail standpoint, I think that Kyle, as an offensive coordinator for this team, he's great. And I could go through my play sheet again, and I could look at play calls that I didn't love, but by and large, the plays that he called either worked or they didn't work. My question is, what's going on with the entire construct of the coaching staff? You've got a new defensive coordinator, and the defense isn't as good as it was last year, and I know you've got new personnel. You've got a special teams coordinator who everyone tells me is the bee's knees, and your special teams are ferocious. You've got clock management that is a little bit of a question mark. So my only question would be, is Kyle Shanahan doing too much? Would he be served by having another person? I don't know, and it doesn't mean that he needs a head coach and you're the OC, or maybe he needs a real OC and then he can just focus on head coachy things. I see a team that is sloppy and special teams that are very poor in attention to detail, and a defense that, again, I watched the game again this morning,
yeah,
and other than Nick Bosa and Floyd, who wrecked a couple of plays, they rush four, they get blocked, they kind of meander, and then the other team either makes a play or they don't. You've had a couple guys come up and lay some big hits yesterday, but
sure,
by and large, your defense is just kind of there.
See, where my head goes every time, we go, okay, this is interesting. Is Kyle Shanahan doing too much? Well, but why did it work before? And that's why my feeling in this current moment, and I know for some of you, it didn't work. They didn't win the last game. All right, fine. They went to overtime in the last game. They go to the NFC title game every year. You can hate that if you want. My personal opinion, that means you're a good team. You're very good. You're sustainable. You've gotten there with multiple quarterbacks. You haven't won the big one, and that's frustrating. I totally get it. But the construct of this team has largely been very, very successful. So when you're in a moment like this that feels frustrating, I look less at big picture and look more at small picture. I think the Niners are just in a spot. How quickly can you get out of the spot? You have a new defensive staff. They're feeling each other out. Is it a good hire or a bad? I don't know yet. You have some new personnel. You're obviously missing some key personnel. Dre Greenlaw, they're really missing that guy. Golly, I think they're missing him more than any of the offensive players we talk about. If there's one person that I could rewind and make healthy, it would be Dre Greenlaw. And I think this season would be going differently. I really do. But I with a new staff and Dre Greenlaw out, and then all of the injuries they've had, and the negative juju of August, and all of these things, and whether it's a Super Bowl hangover, and overconfidence, none of these things are excuses, but they are reality of you're in a spot and you got to get your way out of it. And I would argue that through the last handful of years, you know who's really, really good at getting out of a 3-4 spot? I can think of a coach who's awesome at it. Kyle Shanahan. This is what he has actually done better than anything he does, which is get to about 7 or 8 games in the season, have a big old bleep burger, and then work his way out of it and go to the playoffs. He's done that really well. And I'm not saying I expect him to do it again, but damn it, wouldn't be surprised. And I'm certainly going to sit here and wait and find out.
Of course, but
because the scenario is like, so to me, this is small picture, not big picture right now.
Well, for me, the picture is pretty big when you go seven games in and a lot of the things have become thematic with this team. And you do have a new defensive coordinator, a guy who's never coordinated before, and now he is your DC. And so last year, love Steve Wilks or hate him, but he's a guy who had decades in the National Football League, and he had a tremendous amount of experience, and the same thing with the two previous coordinators. And I look at a special teams group that continues to make gigantic mistakes week in and week out, and I wonder where the responsibility for that falls. And ultimately, it falls on Kyle Shanahan.
Sure.
And this 3-4 feels a lot different to me than last year's 3-4 and a previous time when they went 3-5 2 years ago, whatever, when they were 3-4. You get the point. This one feels different to me because your team looks a little bit older. We've had people come on our station and say they look slow and you're sloppy and now you're injured. So I look at this team in this spot and they could go out there and run the table. They could wind up and be 13-4. They're allowed to do so and win 10 in a row to wrap up the year. But the mistakes I see week in and week out are a lot more troubling than what we've seen in previous years.
It's a fun question on the Comcast business text line from the 402, and they'll go back to the phones. Who wins the Super Bowl first? And this person is going on a premise of, okay, fire Shanahan guy. Let's do it. Who wins the Super Bowl first? The team that immediately gobbles up Kyle? Or the Niners without him? Who are you putting your money on?
Probably the Niners without him.
Oh, gosh. I would completely bet on the other team.
Well, it depends on which other team. Because usually a team that would be in the market for a new head coach is a team that is rebuilding. So
maybe.
Kyle's not going to walk into a great turnkey situation. Usually good teams don't fire their head coach.
You know, fair. But I would argue that whatever situation he jumps into next, it'll be a hell of a lot better than the one he got when he arrived here. I mean, he was rosterless.
Now, if you want to say
here,
which team loses in the Super Bowl first?
That's funny.
Now I got a different answer for you. Thank you, Grandy. I didn't want to finish it. Appreciate it, Grandy. A four from Grandy's really a five. Thank you. I'll take it.
Let's
put a smile on my face, Tips. Thanks.
Right on, Grandy. I'm trying.
Everything's better. We're ready for week 8.
Let's go.
Thank you, Deborah Claus. Let's go to Sean in Danville. Hi, Sean. What are you doing?
Hey, gentlemen. How are you?
What's up?
Nothing much. I'm just, listening to you guys. Love you guys. And I'm speaking on behalf of a lot of Niner fans. I think we're just frustrated, especially with yesterday, about just it was a very winnable game. I think it was a very winnable game with a beatable Kansas City team. But we just, when we get turnovers, when we get penalties like we always do, shoot ourselves in the foot, we can't come back from that. Our team's not built that way. We can't even give a little bit, especially to even a mediocre Kansas City team at the time that didn't have all their weapons. Patrick Mahomes maybe didn't play his best game, but still. What I did like, and I don't know if you guys noticed it, is on defense we were starting to line guys up on different spots, namely Bosa. I saw him lined up in the middle, and he actually looped around on the third down and almost got to Patrick Mahomes, and I'd like to see things like that. We got to give offenses different looks on defense, and we can do it. And lastly, gentlemen, I want you guys to talk about this. What made me the most mad in that game was towards the end. Malik Mustafa. Malik Mustafa. I love him. He is, man, hard-hitting safety. He was knocking people out in the game. The last touchdown, Mahomes. And I felt, I don't know how you guys felt, but I felt Malik Mustafa held up because he didn't want to get a penalty.
Yep.
And then Mahomes just trucked him in the end zone. And, man, I was so mad at that. I mean, for me at this point, take the hit. Lay him out. Hey, get a penalty. At that point, you know what? You got to hit him. Because if we can't get to him, you know what? At least we should be able to hit him. Make him pick himself off the ground.
We're
there.
Yeah, it's an interesting subject, Sean, and a lot of people are talking about this. Thank you for the call. And I don't just mean yesterday, but the Mahomes run into the end zone, the Mahomes run that went 33 yards, the longest of his career, or take any other NFL game. has there sort of become a loophole in protecting the quarterback to where now these quarterbacks know. They know if they're up against the sideline. They also know if they're about to go into a slide. They know how to do it in such a way where they put the defenders completely at a deficit because they're like, well, I could either hit you and I'm going to get penalized, or I'm not going to hit you and I run the risk of you faking me out and running for 10 more yards.
Exactly.
It is. It's a tough pickle. It is hard to be a defensive player in the NFL right now. With
super
the rules.
Hard. Yeah, and I'm trying to pull it up here on my screen just to confirm, but I thought on the 1 yard Mahomes run, I thought he was already in the end zone when Malik Mustafa was coming over to lay the lumber.
It's pretty close, right on the goal line.
I just don't think that Mustafa is a guy who's going to turn down contact. And a few, like, go back to the game yesterday, he had two hits that were like Mustafa missiles, where he just flies in and absolutely destroyed somebody. He's the closest thing to Drake Greenlaw that they have. And, yeah, I'm looking at it here, and it was right on the goal line, and I guess he did kind of get run over, but he's coming at a 45-degree angle. So even if he lights him up, Mahomes is going to score anyway, but maybe there was some reluctance over not wanting to draw the 15.
I just don't know what you do about it.
Right?
Because I understand that, you know, the NFL may look at this even and be like, well, boy, it's not fair. And you know what their answer would be? But tough cookies.
Right, but Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, like you did. I know that we want, rough, tough football. Come on, back when men were men. You know what the networks want? They want the quarterbacks to play. I mean, Jaden Daniels might miss this Jaden Daniels versus Caleb Williams matchup that's supposed to happen this weekend. And that sucks. It's nobody's fault.
Right.
Nobody hit Jaden incorrectly or anything like that. But
you got
like,
the ribs, right?
Yeah, and he's week to week, and right now they're hopeful that he can play. But the bottom line is this is still entertainment, and the league wants the quarterbacks in. They don't want them hurt. It's not it, – you know, the whole – XFL thing, Jeff Brom or whatever, you know, is this or is this not the XFL? Like, nobody thinks that's funny anymore. It's funny to listen to now. Nobody wants the quarterback, like the Tua thing. Nobody wants that.
Right.
That makes everybody cringe.
Yeah.
And it makes the Dolphins unwatchable.
That's right.
For 6 weeks now.
Well, now the Browns are going to be without Deshaun Watson.
They may be better, but anyway.
They might be, but yeah. As far as, you know, star quarterbacks go, and that's just an Achilles. Not just an Achilles, but it's not the same thing as, you know, going out there and lighting somebody up. Like Bill Romanowski used to say on the station when we had him on a weekly, sometimes you got to take a 15, okay? And just the way he would go about it. And, you know, it's kind of an old school thing, and nowadays you just don't go about doing that. And the product is better for it. You don't want your quarterback taken out.
No, but I get it. I feel for the defensive guys. Maurice in Sacktown. What's up, Maurice? Thank you for calling.
Hey, man, how y'all doing?
What's up?
Hey, I wanted to call, and this is, you know, this is more about Kyle. And I'm always skeptical of people who don't change. It's like when the news say, the weathermen say it's going to rain, and you put out your clothes for the next day for a rain, and then it's sunny outside, but you still wear your rain clothes. like it's troubling to me. Like he doesn't have a feel for the game. There's a couple ways to complain. You can do it verbally. You can do it with your body language. He does it when he calls plays. And the biggest difference I saw yesterday was when you saw Andy Reid calling plays, it's like he's scraping at the bottom of the barrel. Like he's trying to come up with, I'm not just talking about the run plays. I'm talking about the pass plays. He's scheming ways to get Noah Gray the ball. I don't even know who that guy is. It's weird. We talk about the receivers. Oh, the receivers aren't getting separation. But it's like, wait, dude. You don't do no screen passes. You don't do no end arounds. You don't do any bunch situation when you always sending a guy in motion. How about you send a guy in motion across the field so it's harder for somebody to cover him man coverage? He just, I don't look, and I'm coming up with this stuff. And it's like, does he not see it? And this brings me back to, you had, I think it was three callers ago, you were talking with the guy, and he was saying that, you know, we want Ben Johnson. And this, I mean, I haven't done my research on any of the coordinators, but he was saying, I don't think Kyle is the correct quarterback for Purdy. I don't think he is either. I think Purdy's potential mentally, I think he dumbs that down. And Tom Brady pointed this out when we played Arizona. He praised Arizona for how they were giving Kyler Murray the keys to the ignition. He was checking out of plays. You see this from Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay. You, of course, see this from Patrick Mahomes. It's like Purdy has to go to the line and just run the play. There's no checks. It's like if it's a run play to the left and they got seven dudes over there to the left, we're still running over there. And I think Purdy's at the ability to where he can actually check out of stuff. I don't think Kyle's ever going to get there with him.
Well, you know what's fascinating about your call, Maurice? You know what's fascinating about your call, though? We're like still in the twilight of people saying that Brock Purdy is a concoction of Kyle Shanahan. And now you're saying Kyle's not the right guy for him. Most people think that Kyle's the reason that Brock Purdy is good.
Jimmy. A guy like Jimmy, I think Purdy can actually mentally be very good before the snap when looking at defenses. Because he does it when he's throwing the ball. But I don't think Kyle's gonna allow Purdy to bring that out in his game. I don't think Purdy is just another robot. You just say, go out there and run my play. I think he can actually make checks before the play, and I don't think Kyle knows how to develop quarterbacks that way. That's an issue.
Maurice, thank you. He actually has said that he prefers that the play be run as called, and the quarterback knows where the hot is. If, you know, he gets to his first read and it's taken away by the defense, then the play is designed for him to go elsewhere with the ball. It's not so much that he goes out there and changes it and checks out of stuff. And if it's a run play, run the run play. And you count on your guys to win and make the play actually work.
I mean, there's decisions sort of like within the play, not decisions necessarily
before the play.
And we forget. I mean, this is still a young player. Like, I think that there's more on his shoulders and more on his plate now than there was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But we're still talking about someone who's in his first 30 games as a professional football player. And to your point, that is the way that Kyle does stuff. And I can tell you, like, to hear that today, where it's like Kyle's not the right guy for Brock, sort of like discounts what we've heard, 28 NFL people
exactly
over the last 1 year, calendar year, say what? Boy, Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan are the absolute perfect marriage of one another. Perfect coach for the quarterback, perfect quarterback for the coach. I'm still going to lean on that despite yesterday's frustration. What's up, Grandy?
To go back to what the caller was talking about, Shanahan has addressed in the past quarterbacks and allowing them to check out and audible at the line of scrimmage, and he even mentioned it with Matt Ryan when he was the OC at Atlanta.
Yep.
He's given their quarterbacks, and who knows exactly what's happened with Brock, at least as you were talking about, maybe when he was first starting as a rookie, he's given quarterbacks the option to have that power, but his thought process, and he's talked about this a couple of times, is a quarterback has so much to worry about. I'm going to take that off their plate and just allow them to focus on the play that's called, and you'll run that play better. And I remember him telling a story with Matt Ryan. He had this same conversation with Matt Ryan and allowed him to try both. And Matt Ryan ultimately found that he liked it better when he didn't have to worry about all that extra stuff and could just go out there and focus on that one play.
I mean, look, there's obviously some intricacies to this that those of us with televisions don't see. And so maybe this is a fault of mine, but I am going to lean on just the oodles and oodles of NFL personnel who have consistently said for years, man, Kyle really knows what he's doing when he's drafting an offense. I think the one thing that we can really question is not whether or not Kyle Shanahan understands offense, whether he knows how to put a quarterback in a good position to win. I think all of that stuff has been proven over and over. The idea of the adjustments when chaos comes up, that to me is the interesting topic. Because that's, to me, that's where we've seen struggles. When you're trailing, when people are committing penalties, when you're in second and 20 as opposed to first and 10, when you're down by 8 points in the fourth quarter, that's when I want to know, why does that not look better? That to me is where the conversation lies.
And it's because his offense isn't built for that. It's not built for chaos. His offense is built the way Kansas City's was yesterday. And if you just want to watch what Kyle would like to do offensively, go back and look at the Chiefs and their final two drives when they ran the ball almost every single play. The first touchdown drive that made it 21-12, they threw it three times. And on the final drive that made it 28-12, they threw it two times. And other than that, it was Kareem and Steele and a little bit of P. Ryan, and it was just straight ahead, smash mouth, push you off the ball football, which is what Kyle wants to do. But they couldn't do it yesterday because Kansas City's defense was denying the run. The one thing that I agree with Maurice on is, where are the screens? Where are the quick throws? Where is the passing game ingenuity? Because I was just looking at the intended air yards per attempt,
yeah,
and they're up this year for Brock Purdy by a yard and a half per throw. They're throwing the ball in the air a lot more down the field than they did last year, and it's not really working all the time.
No, and
so how about some quick screens and, like, you know, maybe a quick pop and get the ball into somebody's hands and let the yak actually happen again?
I don't disagree with you at all. I would guess, like, if Kyle was given that question that you just threw out, my guess would be that's a personnel thing. You know, it's like you just said, the kind of play you want to run, who are the two 49ers?
It's Debo and McCaffrey.
Thank you. And then one of them has not been there at all, and the other one has been totally in and out all year. I do wonder if you might start putting a little small, like a mini package for that kind of stuff with Jacob Cowing.
Exactly.
Just because he's your fastest guy.
Like a jet sweep.
Yeah, like I'd love to see that, but he's barely in. They don't make a package for the guy who's been in like 4% of the snaps all year long.
Yep.
But here we are, you know, and if Debo's out again this week, yeah, maybe you see that on Sunday night. So that, I mean, I agree with you there, but I think that would be his answer, which is like, we don't have the, remember, what was it, what playoff game was it where they came out and ran one of the sweeps to Debo, but Debo wasn't in the game, so it ended up being Jawan?
Yeah, that was the first play of the half,
I think. Was that the Packers game or the Lions game?
I think it was the Lions game, but it was one of those two.
One
for
of those.
Sure.
Y'all remember the play I'm talking about, and yeah, it looked ridiculous.
Jet sweep to Jawan, and he lost like 7 yards.
Exactly.
And it was,
you got to have the personnel to run that package.
But they do have the personnel.
Do they?
They do. Is Jacob Cowing not active every game? And here's my thing.
But look at
Andy Reid, and Andy Reid's got Mecole Hardman. They got stuff that he's doing.
Right. Mecole Hardman's been in the league for like 5 or 6 years.
But Jacob Cowing has the ability to run really fast and get the ball and then keep running really fast.
Run really fast. But again, I'm going to always do this with rookies when we go, oh, they've got that skill set. We don't know.
Xavier Worthy was able to, in the first game of the year.
Yes.
Here, take the ball with your 4-2 speed,
sure,
and go score.
So now first round draft pick and right the fourth round draft pick. Like Xavier Worthy, the plan for him was very different than the plan for Jacob Cowing.
Right, but it's because they made plan.
But because they repped that in practice and worked on that for weeks leading up to it. Cowing barely gets any reps with Brock.
Right.
Barely any.
But
ever.
Why? Who doles out the reps?
Well, but
it's Kyle Shanahan.
Okay, so we should now,
we should maybe, I don't know, get the guy ready to do something with his speed.
At the expense of the people you think are going to play. Do you see what I'm saying?
I do,
like,
but
you're not going to put Debo.
You're going to at least give him
practice.
Just maybe try a couple of plays. Give him a spot to maybe do something.
I get it. But
well, you're going to have to now.
Yeah,
because now you don't
it.
Have anybody.
Well, maybe. I don't know what Debo's going to do this week.
Well, he's in the hospital right now.
Yeah,
so
right now.
Hopefully he gets
right
better.
Now. Yeah. John in Napa, yeah. Well, I think, wants to talk about this very subject. Hi, John. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. I want to give a quick shout-out to Derek and Will that are listening. But I want to talk to about Baldy said something last week that really troubled me, where he was breaking down the plays in the end zone and at the previous game, and was just kind of like, he was like, bottom line, I don't know what the play is supposed to be, and that scares me, right? It's where you have a point where if you break down a play, even if it doesn't work, you should be able to know where it's supposed to go. And even he, as an NFL analyst, is like, I don't know what's supposed to happen on this play. And I'm switching tactics here because I was going to talk about we need screen passes. We need, and you guys covered that. Also, for Kyle Shanahan, I do not want him fired or anything. That's the last thing you do. It's not the first thing you do. Is there corrections that need to be made within the personnel? Maybe. I'm not sure exactly what the first ones are, but at the end of the day, I really think that we have to be, you know, I don't want to go to Jim Tomsula days. I remember Trent Baalke standing there and saying, this is a playoff caliber team. And people on the staff didn't even know how to spell Jim Tomsula's name, and it was a whole mess. So I'm grateful to be where we're at. At the same time, we've learned to expect better, and I think that's reasonable.
Yeah, I do too, John. John, thanks. I mean, I would imagine that that all the things we're talking about, they're looking at them as well. You'd hope. I mean, sure. Again, my question about Kyle Shanahan is why does it seem like you have such a hard time in these chaotic situations, which, again, those are the harder situations, but it seems like other teams have a little bit of an easier time with them than you do. So that's where the question needs to be asked. If you're going all the way back to the beginning and questioning, like, just the entire, like, I turns out I don't think Kyle's a very good coach at all. Like, he's not. It's like, wait a minute. You got, there's just way too many questions to answer about why this has been so good for so long to ask that. And I'm sure they're trying to answer those questions. I hope they are. And the personnel is a very, very big piece of that. Like, it's one thing to be missing people, and then it's another thing to be missing people that you didn't know you were going to be missing. And I don't think there's anything harder for an offensive coordinator in the NFL.
When you get a late scratch and then you get a big-time injury right before halftime.
Your game plan is around people who then suddenly aren't in the game.
But it is incumbent on you as a head coach to have your backups prepared. And,
no doubt.
I'm thinking about, a basketball team with a head coach who has been accused of not necessarily loving his younger players. And so you get into a spot where sometimes you need them to be up and ready. And that's what is happening with the Niners now. Pearsall, you played him more than you wanted. And Cowing, you're going to have to start playing him more, it looks like. And Garendo is going to have to tote the ball more if, J.P. Mason has shoulder restrictions going into this game.
Seemed like he was okay yesterday.
He was all right.
Yeah,
I don't think that he was as physical as he normally is.
Yeah, I don't know. He did look a little hesitant at times. I don't know if that's the shoulder or the fact that he was going up against a much better defense.
Very good defense.
And there were no holes.
Yep.
There were no holes early in that game. Finally, he busted through some toward the end. Speaking of basketball coaches, Steve Kerr, in 23 hours and about 30 minutes, about 23 hours and 30 minutes, Steve Kerr, with his first weekly session here on Willard and Dibbs, every week, all year long, and he will do his first tomorrow night at 5 o'clock.
I don't care.
Well, I do, because the opener is Wednesday.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
I do. I really do. I care a lot. And so that is tomorrow at 5 as we get ready for the opener on Wednesday. And by the way, the Warriors right now are
a sight for sore eyes.
Kind of a glass of fresh water on a hot day.
Yeah,
it's crazy. It's crazy.
Totally. So
looking forward to that tomorrow. And they open up at Portland
1-0
Wednesday.
Oh, sorry.
You'll hear that right here on 95.7 The Game. We'll play the schedule game tomorrow with Steve.
I've got him at 80-2.
Yeah, there you go.
I do. That's the way I look at
sports. And those two losses, I'm sure, will just be a forfeit, because there's no way any team would ever beat them.
No. Steph Curry, load management.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. Paul in Palo Alto. Hi, Paul. What are you doing?
Hey guys. Just listening to you. Thanks for taking my call.
Sweet, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been listening to everything you've been saying about Kyle, and my take on it is he is a great head coach. He's a great head coach. He's great at putting together all the bits and pieces and training and planning and prepping and, hiring the right personnel, picking great players. I don't think he's a great offensive coordinator. I think He has an abysmal record in close fourth quarter games. He has not done well in big games throughout his entire career. And his play calling has been highly questionable in tight big games, even pre-Niners. So I think, like I said, he's a strong head coach. I don't think he, when in crunch time, I don't think he's the strongest offensive coordinator.
Yeah, there are questions in there. Paul, thanks so much.
That's always an interesting one.
Well, take my opinion out of it. So forget me for a second. I want to ask you a question, Dan.
Okay.
All right.
He's 8-4 in the playoffs.
Okay. So he's never won big games and loses all the close games. I get it. I don't want to be sarcastic. I understand.
Yeah.
They're close games. They're trailing. There is some history of problems in those moments. If Kyle Shanahan is not a good play caller, if he's not a good offensive coordinator, if he doesn't know what he's doing in close games, why does everybody in the league think he's one of the best? Forget my opinion.
Yeah.
I genuinely want an answer to that.
Well, probably because, and I'm looking at the stats right here, over the last 6 years, here's their rank in yards, offensive yards, and I think yards are important to be able to gain yards. Usually, yards lead to points. They are 4th, 15th, 7th, 5th, 2nd, and 3rd in yards, offensive yards in the NFL.
Okay.
The 1 year that they weren't, they were 15th. That was 2020, and that was the year of the injury when they had no quarterback, as far as I can remember. That was the year that they lost Jimmy Garoppolo early in the year.
And the other years where they were all top 10 with a guy who now is a backup in the league.
Correct.
And everybody thinks is not a good football player. Now
Interesting, though, the caller, as he was saying it, I think he's a better offensive coordinator than he is a head coach. And he's a very good head coach. I think he's an elite offensive coordinator. And if I was going to look at areas of improvement for Kyle Shanahan, the offensive coordinating would not be high on the list.
I agree with you.
I think that he needs to get better.
That's a genuine question from me. I wondered if, you know what I mean? We have a lot of NFL analysts, people who played the game on all of our shows. Do a lot of you think that all of them are lying to you? It's just a question. I don't mean it to sound leading or sarcastic. I really mean that. Is that how you feel? Because that's what the whole league thinks he's amazing. The whole league thinks that. But I get it on a frustrating day if you feel otherwise. More calls, some final thoughts coming up. Willard and Dibs.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Come on!
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Nauseation sensation.
Yeah.
I mean, that play. Hey, you're welcome. That play. By the way, I don't buy. I'm not giving the Niners that out. I do not want to give the Niners that out that everyone else is giving them on that play. Well, they would have pummeled him out of bounds, but you're not allowed to pummel him out of bounds. So everybody was scared. D. Winters missed him. He over-pursued, he didn't hold up. He flew by him and went out of bounds. And the other two guys were not even in position to touch him. So that actually was one of those plays where I started thinking about Baldinger. Hey, what's the identity of this team? Slow.
Right?
They looked slow on that play.
They sure did.
So.
And, you know, push him. Just give him a little shove.
Yeah.
Give him a little gentle shove out of bounds. You don't have to blow the guy up.
No, but by then, risk the 15-yarder.
Yeah.
You're losing. It's the fourth. If you get the 15-yarder, you get the 15-yarder. It's better than the 33-yard penalty that they give up.
And I'm not...
Just watch him run down the sideline.
I'm not going to use this as an excuse because I don't know the situation with Fred Warner, but he doesn't look like he normally looks. He looks a little bit...
He was hurt.
Yeah, I don't know how hobbled he is, but that's a play that normally doesn't happen where Mahomes... He didn't even give him a stiff arm. He kind of gave him a little brush off, like... When you dismiss somebody with your backhand, Fred normally is so quick and strong and forceful. That doesn't happen to Fred. Something is amiss.
You're right. At the same time, I'd love to look at that one again because it didn't feel like Fred was in a tackling position. He was at a deficit at the start of that, and then he tried to make a dive for him, and he didn't get him. It didn't get him. But it wasn't like Patrick busted right through him or anything like that.
He was in a grabbing position and he was unable to grab him.
Yeah. All right. We want to get to as many of you as possible here. Jose in Oakland. Hi, Jose. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, man.
So, currently, as the Niners are playing and with these things going on with the injuries and the whole deal, to be honest with you, right now, they don't even belong in the field with the Chiefs, let alone the Lions, because that's the team that they really need to worry about, the Lions, if they want to get to play against the Chiefs again. The only thing I can tell you right now, I'm one Cowboys loss away from just concentrating on watching the young players develop. That would be the only good thing that can come out of this season if it keeps going the way it is, because right now it's going sideways in a hurry. And I don't think it's so much Kyle's fault. I don't like his play calling at times. The guy is really, really good, and that's why he bothers me. It's kind of one of those things where they tell you, I know you can do better than that, but you don't. The reason why, maybe because it's limited by the players that he has, but he needs to then, at this point, develop the young players that he has, especially the receivers. I think he's got something in this guy. And Malik Mustafa, you know what? I didn't realize how big Patrick Mahomes is until I saw Malik Mustafa just bounces off him. The guy's big.
I mean, Jose, why do you think we were laughing all week when, what was our man's
Kurt.
Name?
Kurt. From the Hayward Hills.
The little runt.
This guy's a little runt.
Yeah, he's not a little runt. Ask Fred. Is he a little runt?
Let's get that little guy and get him the hell out of here.
The Niners are going to smash that little
runt. I think he was talking about Purdy.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, Jose. thanks so much. You know
appreciate
what
you, Jose.
Here's what I don't get.
The guy smashed that little runt.
A little runt is going to be on his ass.
Get out of here. We didn't hear from
Kurt. Get out of here with that.
We didn't hear from Kurt today.
Are you kidding me?
We didn't hear from him.
Somebody should kick that little runt. I can't stand that little runt.
Here's what I don't get. And maybe this is, I'm going to leave some space for it's just Monday and we're ticked. So I get it. I get it with every fiber of my being. But I don't understand why some heads are in the space of we're damn close to giving up on the year. What? Really? As you sit a half game out of first place?
It's a full game. But well, not the tiebreaker.
You got the tiebreaker.
Seattle plays Buffalo next week. So let's just say, worst case, you lose to Dallas. And even if they beat Buffalo, you're two back and you play Seattle again. So really, you're only one back, because if you beat Seattle, then you owe the tiebreaker over Seattle. And
There are 10 games left.
10 games. Now,
there are 10 games left.
If you want to look at Carolina at 1-6, we can start talking about looking at the young players.
I think so.
Because they are, if Tampa wins tonight, they will be, a full what, four games back with 10 to play. Still not out of it, but
you don't need to be happy. You don't need to like the direction we're going, but are we really? We're talking about giving up on the year? They could be in first place a week from in 6 days. In 6 days, they might be in first place.
Right.
And the division stinks.
Well, at the end of tonight, you might be in third place.
You might be.
If Arizona wins.
But you're a game back, no matter what. And at minimum, no matter how mad you are, you have to at least leave a little bit of space for the context of this year and the lack of health that they are experiencing. There has to be some room for that.
I won't even allow that into my mindset. All I look at is the fact that you're a game out. So
yeah.
Forget everything that's happened and what is yet to come, because that will all work itself out. But until you get to a spot where you're in an actual must win and then you don't win, yeah, then we can talk about maybe looking at the younger players.
Sean in Napa. Hi, Sean. What's going on?
Not that much. I love listening to you guys. And, you know, after a tough loss yesterday, you guys make the pain go away. So I appreciate you guys always keep it real. So
oh, thanks,
I really love you guys. And hey, listen, man, I don't know what grinds my gear more, like the Niners loss or this Grant Cohen. I don't know if you guys saw the latest. I mean, he keeps saying over and over after every loss, like how the Niners should fire Kyle Shanahan. And I don't know if you guys mentioned this, but he was talking to Larry Kruger, if you saw this, but he mentioned that apparently ownership was upset with the 49ers, was spending too much money. Now, I personally do not believe that, because Jay York has been out of hiding and not doing anything, which is good. So I don't believe that statement that the Yorks are upset with
smart choice, Sean. Here's your next move. Don't believe anything that comes from that mouth. None of it. Ever. Never. Ever. And
well, just look at what they actually have done. They gave Brandon Ayuk $120 million. Does that sound like an organization that's mad about spending money?
Sean, go ahead.
Yeah, and one more thing, guys. You know, I don't know why, you know, like, I love Trent Williams, but people need to stop, like, that cheap shot. Like, ask Richard Sherman, ask all the Eagles. There's one thing you don't do, man. You don't piss off a left tackle who's probably size of a brick house. So, you know, like, I don't know if you guys saw that, but that guy who put his hand on Trent Williams should have been kicked, ejected from the game. So, like,
should have, yeah.
No NFL guys, you don't slap or punch a left tackle who's the size of Empire State Building, because that guy will kick your ass. Believe me.
Yeah, Sean, thank you. Yeah, Trent Williams is in charge, and so obviously it had also reached a moment where the Niners were boiling, and the frustration was overwhelming. I have no problem with Trent Williams being thrown out of that game, but the fact that the other player wasn't even penalized is the classic. They always get the second guy, and they always get the bigger guy. Like, one of them punched harder than the other one, so he got thrown out. And, it didn't affect the game at all, but that was a bunch of bull.
But, well, when there is a flag on a play like that, you can go to New York and review everything that took place. So you can't throw a flag on him if you didn't throw a flag initially, but you can, when there is a flag on the play, go to New York and review the entire sequence. And reviewing the sequence would have told me that he threw the first punch, and so the Chiefs player should have been ejected as
Absolutely.
Well. I was really surprised that he wasn't.
Yeah, not even penalized.
Well, you're not going to penalize him if you miss it as an on-field ref, but when you go to New York and they can look at it and they see it,
sure,
they can then take their own action.
I love that, by the way. That incomplete pass that they overturned without Kyle Shanahan having to throw the red flag. That's a very important new tweak to this whole thing, because I hated the fact that you had to burn one of your challenges to get something right that the officials got wrong. I've always felt either do what they're doing now, or if you throw a red hanky and you're right, you don't lose a challenge.
Right.
Well, you didn't do anything wrong.
Well, if you get two right, then you get a third. But that's, you know,
I don't think you should lose a challenge at all if you're right.
I agree.
Period.
Yep.
You know, there's plenty of time. We got nowhere to be. It's Sunday.
Totally. You know? Well, you got a job you gotta get to.
That's all right. Play the game in the middle of my show. We're fine. Grandy, what are you doing here in a couple of minutes?
Kyle Madsen and I, we got the football hour.
Oh, that's right. It's football hour.
So if you got more Niners frustration,
Keep the calls coming.
Got it.
Right? You guys, are, would you take some calls or no?
We could take the guys that are still on hold right now.
Okay. All right. Here comes.
Don't try to eat into Grandy's airtime.
No, I didn't know if you guys wanted some calls. Get some people with some vitriol screaming. It's fun.
That was yesterday.
Hit us up on the Comcast business text line.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Fine. Over here trying to produce your show. Anyway.
You want to answer calls?
That's a good point.
I got to go. Sorry. But I'll come back and we'll answer more calls tomorrow. And Steve Kerr's coming on the show.
I'm into it.
Yeah, you want to do it again tomorrow?
Totally, yeah. All
right, let's do it again tomorrow. We'll find out if your Fade the Dibbers picks worked out okay. But here comes Grandy. Here comes Kyle Madsen in the football hour. And it's brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises. All right, that's right around the corner for Dibs for Grandy. I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.